I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Joseph Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. He writes political economics, and he writes often of the challenges of recovery, inflation being one of them, but there are other concerns as well. Right now, there seems to be, at least in terms of the European Union and the IMF, a judgment that the U.S. is in recovery and is going to do very well. The question is asked, is Europe going to match it? This is the IMF commenting that the U.S. is well-placed not only to return but to exceed its pre-pandemic growth rate. That is a, let's stop there, Joe. Let's celebrate that. What has happened that the IMF thinks so well of the U.S., given our, what you'd have to say, our domestic troubles, and now the early days of the Biden administration spending trillions and trillions and trillions because we're still in a pandemic?
Well, that, you have to take some of these forecasts with a grain of salt, because, of course, I think the IMF would tell you that one of the things that has changed is that Congress did pass that enormous stimulus bill. But I mean, the reality is that the stimulus has nothing to do with it. It was pretty obvious that the economy was recovering before a single penny of that $1.9 trillion was even spent. And the reason is that we have reopened the economy. I think that what you are discovering in the U.S., what you are seeing in the U.K., and what you are seeing in places like Israel is that the most effective economic stimulus right now is a vaccination program, because that is the thing that will allow you to reopen the economy. And that is the big reason that Europe is in danger of falling behind. I mean, they'll tell you here that they are worried about falling behind the U.S. recovery because they haven't done a stimulus that's as big as what we did in the U.S. And that sort of thing. But no, it's the vaccinations, it's the inability to reopen the economy. It turns out that, I mean, it sounds like a tautology, but it's true. You can't have economic growth if you don't have an economy first.
What we observe here, Joe, and I'll report from the New York area, is that Connecticut, where I am right now, is open. New York wants to be open. New Jersey wants to be open. Certainly restrictions have been lifted about restaurants and about occupancy. The economies are choking back, but across the rest of the country, the states that are open are doing very well, thank you very much, and the growth projections for the United States are extremely positive. Now, we do have a lot of vaccine. We do have a vaccine program that's going forward. But there's a confidence here that I don't read in the European press. That's the puzzle. Is it because we come from a high growth number beforehand and Europe comes from what you'd have to say was a begrudgingly modest growth? So are we just returning to what we were before? Europe doesn't grow so much and the U.S. grows a lot?
I mean, I think you've definitely put your finger on a very important point here, which is what was the baseline situation before the pandemic hit? And it was definitely true that the U.S. And the U.K. to a somewhat lesser extent came in to the pandemic year in a much healthier economic position, in terms of having had animal spirits roaming the countryside, entrepreneurship firing on all cylinders, job creation very good, unemployment very low, a lot of economic activity going there. So that is also an important ingredient here. I mean, I think that there was a sense in the U.S. and the U.K. that as soon as you could end the lockdowns, if you could get the vaccines rolling, that you had something positive to return to. I mean, it's a much more complicated and mixed picture in most of the European Union. You had some countries that had been reasonably successful before the pandemic and might expect to be able to get back to that once they reopen. But there are a lot of them for whom the pandemic and the lockdowns are exacerbating some of these, what you might call in a medical sense, these pre-existing conditions, which are going to turn out to make this task of recovery even harder.
There are critics in Europe who see that the way forward is to go big. I read from Reuters reporting from Paris, the European Union must shoot for a more ambitious COVID-19 recovery plan than the landmark 750 billion euro stimulus agreed last summer. After the first wave, this according to French European Affairs Minister Clément Beaune. He said this on television. No doubt something like a doubling of the existing fund, the economic response has to be more ambitious. Is that a criticism you hear in London, that the European Union is being modest and penny-pinching when they need to go big.
No, that's preposterous, this notion that somehow the solution is going to be for them to spend even more money. Because, I mean, the first thing to understand is that they don't really have the capacity to spend the money that they've already allocated. I mean, you have this big problem, for example, where Italy is due to be the biggest beneficiary of the 750 billion euro stimulus that already is being implemented. That money isn't going to go out the door for years. And Italy has a history of not being able to spend all of the money that Brussels gave it already. So I think that what they need is not more of the stimulus and throwing money at things. What they need is the kind of economic reform and opening of their markets and unleashing their entrepreneurship that they needed before the pandemic. And I think that more money is not going to be the solution there, although it's kind of tempting for them to think that that might be an easier fix than the difficult things that they would need to do.
What we're looking at here then is a return to a new normal in which it's going to look a lot like the old normal in Europe. I note that Bloomberg ran a column this morning that I found extremely fetching because it says in the column, and I'm summarizing it and so inadequate for the scale of the learning in the column, is that this is a moment for the European Union to deal with its common currency. And the way to deal with that is to deal with European banking. You've read the column. I've read the column, Joe. Haven't we heard this story before? Every time there's a moment of a crisis in Europe, there's attention to European banking. What's wrong with European banking that they keep bringing it up just before the asteroid hits? The banks work fine. What do they want?
Well, this is, again, an example of the difficulty that you have having this kind of conversation in Europe, because I think that there is always a school of thought the solution to any problem that Europe has is more Europe, that you need more centralization at the EU level, that you need something, the issue here is the European Banking Union, which would make it easier for banks to operate across borders and deposit insurance, and all of these more federalist type institutions at the European level as a solution to problems. So, maybe there's a role for some of that at some point. I'm sure that it probably would be helpful. But, I mean, if you want to talk about banks specifically, I mean, remember that banks really hold up a mirror to the economy around them. So if you want healthy banks, one important condition is that you have to have a healthy overall economy. And, I mean, definitely there's a relationship between the two that can run in both directions. But I'm not sure that banking reform or really any of these very technocratic moves to try to not let this crisis go to waste and create even more centralized bureaucracy at the European level, I don't think that is going to be their way out of the crisis.
And Joe, is banking, this is what you write about, so that's why I'm asking the right person, is banking their way of talking about everything that doesn't work correctly? Is that why they each time they mention banking, because they don't want to talk about, say, medicine, or they don't want to talk about transportation? However, those things don't work smoothly either in the European Union.
It's a weird kind of dynamic in European politics, where it's almost like the financial system is this El Dorado that they're always chasing after, hoping that that will be the thing that will deliver prosperity. If they can get the euro right, or if they can get the banking union right, or if they can get the financial services union right, that somehow that will solve all of these problems. And I mean, those things are definitely important. They're going to have to happen at some point. But I just think it's interesting that they always pop up, because I think that there's this hope that, as difficult as that is, that would be a simpler solution somehow than some of the really nitty gritty things that they have to do at the national level to really unlock the entrepreneurship in their economies. And so that's why we seem to constantly have these conversations. And I'm not saying it's not an important issue, but I don't think that that is going to be the central issue that will determine how well Europe does or doesn't recover from the pandemic.
I want to come to the United States and your observations of these last weeks. Your inflation column worries me, Joe, worries me. And I it's just because I remember the 20th century and how inflation all of a sudden is upon you when you thought that it was controlled. It just jumps you. Mr. Biden's plan is now said to be challenged by certain negative voices in the U.S. Senate. At the same time, he's going forward with the infrastructure plans. Is that all, to your measure, part of the U.S. recovery, or is that extra to the U.S. recovery? Do we believe that, is it observed that we need those trillions to recover, or can we do it without it?
No, I think it is definitely excess to the, you know, recovery such as it is, because the recovery was already well underway, especially in states that reopened from their lockdowns, before any of these bills were even passed. And, you know, here we have this huge recovery underway just as debate is only barely beginning on the infrastructure bill. So I think that something other than economic recovery is what's actually going on here, even if that's how they want to try to pitch it politically. But, you know, I think that, you know, some evidence of this is that, you know, you and I frequently talk about inflation. We again see over the weekend evidence that producer prices are increasing. This is a sign that, you know, prices are creeping up and that there is inflation in the supply side of the economy and what companies have to pay for their inputs. That inevitably will find its way onto the consumer side of the economy. And that is evidence of the fact that things were actually already recovering, that there is a lot of money out there, that there are a lot of people who want to buy a lot of things. There are a lot of producers who want to produce a lot of things. Do what we, you know, is what the economy really needs, another huge shot in the arm? Or, you know, should we allow nature to start taking its course a little bit and let this recovery unfold, you know, in its own time?
Joseph Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He is based in London, which is why we compare and contrast Europe with the U.S. However, when we come back, we're going for a walk in the park with Joe. There are positives. There are lots of positives. I know we're looking for things that are not working well. But one of the positives is that it's springtime. And the joy of walking in a London park is second to none to my experience, my limited experience, the time I've spent in London. So when we come back, we'll walk in the park with Joe Sternberg, and also the idea that the United Kingdom is coming back out of its fear because of the vaccine. That's to be celebrated. It wasn't obvious that that was going to happen 6 months or even 2 months ago. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.